Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fire It Up with CJ. I'm CJ Liu, and this segment starts our four-part series on motivating today's multi-generational workforce. I have Michael Lee, the owner of Seattle's Express Employment Professionals, who works with small to medium businesses, recruiting and training new employees. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, CJ. I'm happy to be with you today.
So today we're going to be looking at four generations, and the first starts with millennials, who were born between 1981 and 2000, so that makes them 30 years or under, and they represent 22% of the workforce. So tell us about who are these millennials.
Well, you hit the time frames for their birth. They are the newbies to the workforce. And they're taking the workforce by storm because there are 76 million of them coming into the work environment, and the generation immediately in front of them, Gen X, there are only 46 million of them. So there is both opportunity for the millennials, but also challenges because there are so many of them. It's hard to find a job. A lot of the millennials are graduating from excellent colleges with excellent degrees and having a hard time putting those degrees to work. And they are having to take different kinds of jobs, perhaps readjust their expectations for what they were hoping to find in the workforce. And that plays into some of the stereotypes that are surrounding the millennials, that they come out of college expecting to have a company laptop, a cell phone, a 401k, the corner office all before the end of the week. So that stereotype is
so very privileged.
Privileged
individual.
Yes, privileged, yes. But part of the reason is their baby boomer parents raised them that way. There was boomers raised their children with intense child focus. It was unprecedented in America. So America, for better or worse, is reaping what was sown. during the formative years of the millennials.
And you know what? I'm actually, my children are probably going to be a product of that too, because they are, and at least when my children were, and my son is a millennial, is there's all about attachment parenting where you carry them all the time and you listen to them intensely.
Yes.
And then you encourage them with positive affirmations.
Yes.
Like, good. And actually, it drives my mother-in-law crazy.
Because
I'm always, good job.
Yes.
Great work. And she said, do you ever give them honest feedback? I'm like, yeah. I'll say, you know, well, that painting looks like, you know, a good job.
Yes, well, you just hit the nail on the head.
Exactly.
Because millennials feel really, really good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But like every generation, reality sets in, and they're facing some unprecedented challenges. A lot of these millennials are hitting the workforce on the heels of the Great Recession, and it's hard. So they are...
Are they the ones that are most impacted right now from the recession in terms of like the the scarce number of jobs? Are these the ones... Is this... Because when I've read the articles, it seems like this is one of the audiences that's most impacted.
I would rather... Well, because there are so many of them, yes. But I would rather be a millennial coming into the workforce for the first time than a Gen X or baby boomer mid-level manager who gets laid off.
Why?
Well, there are more opportunities for the millennials than there are for the older, more seasoned Gen X and baby boomers. But
What are the opportunities for those guys?
Well, for the millennials, as I said, a lot of them are graduating with excellent degrees, but they're not finding a place to put those degrees to work right away. But they have transferable skills. Basically, any undergraduate degree proves that somebody is an excellent project manager. They manage themselves well enough to get a degree in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so that means they might be trainable mm-hmm. in business.
Right.
And so they are still a bit of a free agent. They can go many different ways. And a lot of millennials are discovering that they are happy doing something that's completely different than what they were trained for in college.
Mm.
So
they're flexible. They can go lots of different
yes.
directions, and they're not like, oh, I got a whatever degree and I must actually be an engineer because I got an engineering degree.
Yes, that's a bit of an extreme. Most people that get specialized degrees in engineering or accounting, it's easier for them to find work. We're talking about your liberal arts majors.
Right.
Your communications majors,
right.
Majors with a more general emphasis.
Right.
But on the job as assets, the millennials have, they have optimism and they do have tenacity and they're showing up and they are looking the stereotypes of their generation in the eye and they're stepping up to the plate and they're beginning to impress their Gen X and baby boomer managers. So the word that best describes the millennials is hopeful. Hmm. And there are some experts who believe that they're going to be the next great American generation. They have the work ethic of their baby boomer parents, and they are bold and determined like their traditionalist grandparents. And they are the most open generation to working in a multi-generational environment.
So I ultimately did do a good parenting job then. This parenting style has resulted in the greatest, what did you say, the great American workforce?
Well, they're hopeful. They're all hopeful. It could just be,
maybe we're all optimistic and hopeful yes. that these are the people who will be running our futures,
that's
right?
That's right. Yes, we want a good return on your parenting investment.
So tell us more about that strengths and other strengths and weaknesses and how you
relate
to these
folks. Well, some
of
the challenges for the millennials, they do tend to need a lot of affirmation and feedback, a lot of a need for supervision and structure on the job. Hmm. Whereas baby boomers put your head down, they would work, they understood you had to pay your dues. With the traditionalist generation, no news was good news. They
right.
they assumed everything was fine. If they didn't hear anything from their manager, they just kept their head down and worried.
Right.
That's anathema to the millennials. They want regular feedback. They want their supervisors to be more of a friend than just a manager.
Oh, Lord, you just can't tell them to do stuff? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so... But the other thing that's a challenge is they do have an unrealistic perspective on career paths. And that's kind of alludes to what we were talking about before, that reality is taking care of that and giving them the attitude
right.
adjustment.
Can I be a VP now?
Yes.
Like that kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
They're getting it. So, but, and their leadership style is very conducive to the work environment of today. They're collaborative. They like to include everybody. They pull together. They're polite with authority. And as I said, they value intergenerational goodwill on the job.
Yeah. And then one of the things that you said earlier about collaboration is they're on the internet all the time.
Yes, and that is a challenge.
You said 40 hours before. They're
well,
on the internet
yeah,
40
there are lots
hours.
Of studies. There are other people that are concerned about the millennials' interpersonal skills because they spend so much time online, connected, whether it's with their computer or their mobile devices or playing Xbox with people across the world. They are always on. They're mm-hmm. high-speed internet junkies. That's one way one of the experts describes them. And they have a personality online, and then they have their interpersonal personality when they're dealing with people face-to-face. And they're discovering that the millennials don't have the interpersonal skills to resolve conflict in the workplace. And so there's a real need for them to recognize the value of developing their interpersonal skills. And it's important because they're going to have unprecedented opportunities for leadership because there are only 46 million Gen Xers.
Yeah.
And there are not going to be enough of them to cover all the leadership positions and opportunities that will be out there. So
yeah.
the millennials will have a chance to step up only if they're ready for it.
Right. And if they can relate to other people in a way, aside from, you know, like LOL or whatever the acronym is. I actually have a new one. I'm going to just put like GTW if I manage one to say get back to work, get to work. Just like when they're on Facebook, I'll go for my Facebook friends because they want to be friends with me. Yep. And then I'll send them a little Facebook thing, get back to work, because I've noticed you've been spending 20 hours on your Facebook account.
The greatest tension between the generations right now is between Gen X and the millennials. Gen X is doing all that they can to help the millennials understand reality. I get a lot of Gen X managers coming to me saying, Michael, how do I motivate these people? How do I communicate with them? I just want to kill them. And then I tell them, I says, go ahead, kill them. There are 76 million of them. There are plenty to replace.
It is hard if they don't have the interpersonal skills, but that's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you have like 20, you have like 15 years to figure it out. So start taking the books or reading the books with the millennials out there. You have a huge opportunity. You are the like next, whatever, American dream. What did you say? The great American workforce?
The experts are saying they will be the next great American generation. They
it's
better get on
it. It's up to you
now.
Guys. It's up to you. I'm expecting you to take care of me when I'm old. All right. So many thanks to you, Michael Lee. Up next, we're going to find out about those fiercely independent / cynical Gen Xers. Then listen to segment two, and we'll find out about them. And this is our 4-part series on relating and motivating today's multi-generational workforce. Remember, if you missed part of the show or want to hear more, then look us up on iTunes or at fireitupwithcj.com. Thanks for tuning in.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your fish bay.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
Thanks for listening to Fire It Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. We are doing our four-part series on how to motivate the multi-generational workforce out there. And today we have Michael Lee, who is a trusted partner that helps small to medium businesses help figure out how to manage your new hires. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, CJ. Happy to be with you today.
Yeah, so we just talked about millennials in segment one, and next we're going to talk about the Gen X's. And yeah. So Gen X's, what years are 31 to 46-year-olds? Is that right?
Yeah, Gen X, born approximately from 1965 to 1980. They make up 29% of the workforce, and there are approximately 46 million Gen Xers in America today. An interesting fact about Gen X is they will never be the dominant generation in terms of numbers of people working in the workforce. Right now, the baby boomers make up 42% mm-hmm. of the workforce, and the millennials are 22%. But the millennials will pass Gen X because there are 76 million millennials and only 46 million.
What happened? Were people not amorous during that time period?
Well, birth control came around in the late 60s and Roe v. Wade, early 70s. And so on the swing of the pendulum, America was at a less child-centric stage as a country, and that we've swung back with the millennials and the intense child focus with the millennials, which we talked about in a previous segment. So there aren't a lot of Gen Xers, and they grew up through profound economic changes in America. It was in the late 70s that corporate America in general broke their contract with the American worker. The baby boomers were cradle-to-grave employees working for cradle-to-grave employers. And the Gen X children saw their baby boomer and young traditionalist parents getting laid off from these American corporations where they expected to be all of their work
life. And is that why they're so cynical?
Yes, you hit the nail on the head. Gen X is very cynical. They're also the latchkey kid generation. Gen X grew up watching their parents chase the American dream. Many Gen Xers grew up in single-parent family homes, or they grew up with both parents working, and they had a key around their neck that they'd let themselves in the house when they got home from school, and their babysitter was the TV. They would watch the Brady Bunch or the Love Boat.
I think I'm this group. I was 1963, so I think I'm born on the cusp of one of these things.
Yes, you're a seasoned baby boomer.
I'm a seasoned baby boomer, or seasoned Gen X person. So what are the values that are important to the Gen X folks?
Well, Gen X, they're a very diverse group. They're technologically literate. They grew up during a time when they had the first cell phones. They had fax machines, personal computers. Apple and Tandy coming out with personal computers back then, and Gen X readily took to the technology and laid a good foundation for the millennials to come behind them. So the other thing is Gen X is not, they are not cradle to grave employees. They change jobs regularly. And another stereotype of Generation X is if an employer is interviewing somebody from Generation X, you better be prepared to be interviewed back. Gen X is testing you.
Yeah, they're kind of surly, aren't they?
Well, they value competence in leadership.
Right.
They're very skeptical. They don't readily trust leaders, whether it be political or in the work environment.
It's so fascinating. So it's all that history behind them. Yeah, they don't trust them, and they have good reason not to trust them,
yeah.
right?
They saw the dreams of their baby boomer parents shattered, and they saw the effect that it had on families. And so Gen X really brought a couple of things to the workforce. They brought business casual. They brought an informality to the workforce. Yes.
I like that.
And they also brought work-life balance. When Gen X began to come into the workforce, they had the reputation of being slackers. The boomers just classified them as being slackers. But it wasn't that they were slacking. It's that they didn't want to create the same mistakes and sacrifice their lives at the altar of work.
And that's true with the millennials, too. I remember reading back that they care about work-life balance, too.
Yes, they do. And they need to thank their older brothers and sisters in Gen X for that. Because Gen X really pioneered that. And they took a lot of grief from the boomers as they were coming into the workforce.
But now they're probably in leadership roles now.
They are. They're in leadership roles, but with only 46 million of them, the millennials are going to be hot on their heels to fill leadership roles at perhaps an earlier age than Gen X, because Gen X is so small.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about how you work with a Gen X person.
Well, remember that they are skeptical. They like to be led by competence. And whereas the traditionalist generation, World War II generation, no news was good news, Gen X likes to be trusted with all of the facts. Give them everything. Tell them what's going on. Let them know what's happening. And that is a way to earn trust with Generation X.
So more like a transparent work environment where you're like, here's what's happening. The reorg's happening. It's not like just throwing at them, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yes. Generation X works best in a transparent work environment. And they like to be included into the process. They don't necessarily need to have the last say, but they like to be included in the process.
Yeah, I mean, to be included in terms of making the decisions.
Yes. Yeah. And in working with Gen X, it's best if you tell them what needs to be done, but give them the freedom to figure out how to get it done.
Yeah.
Don't micromanage them. Of all the generations, Gen X is the one that least...
That's true.
Yeah. Whereas millennials will view
structure.
Yes, they'll view it as structure and affirmation.
That's fascinating.
With Gen X, it's a turnoff.
That's a conflict, isn't that? That's a conflict ready to happen, because you want one group who needs to be told what to do and some structure, and the other one is like, can't you figure it out? I figured it out myself. You figure it out.
Yeah, so you can see that the greatest conflict right now in the multi-generational workforce is between Gen X and millennials.
Yeah, because they're very different. Like one, it's like, I have my latchkey, I'm independent, I'm on the PC, I'm sitting here doing my, you know, like typing in my own little world, and now you come in here wanting to relate to me and Facebooking me and all these other things.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I would imagine.
Yes, wanting their time.
Right. Yeah. And you want to be my friend. Like, what's that all about?
Yeah, Gen X views it as, I don't have time to hold your hand.
Yeah.
And it's just a different style. Mm-hmm. It's a different style. And they're figuring it out.
Yeah. That's fascinating. So if I were a millennial person then, and I had a Gen X boss, which is probably really likely, right? Right. At this point that I had a Gen X boss, what I'd probably want to do is make sure that, like, I present all the data, give them all the facts, make sure I, you know, come up to a decision so they don't have to do those things. And this is what I used to have to do when I had people who were younger, that you know, I'd have to say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up with the facts, the pros and the cons, the analysis, and then your ultimate decision. Because I don't want to have to, like, rethink all of this. I want you to do this in package.
That's good.
Is that true, what you want from millennials?
Yes. And another tip for millennials in working with a Gen X boss is ask your Gen X boss, what is their preferred method of communication?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then stick with that. And that will show that you're listening, and that'll go a long way to creating a good working relationship.
How about Gen X folks that have baby boomer bosses, which those are out there too?
Well, the baby boomers grew up in a time where they are a large generation, just like millennials. There was a lot of competition, and the baby boomers had to learn to get along. They became politically savvy. They had to negotiate their way through school. You know, they had to try out for the football team. They had to try out to be a cheerleader. Not everybody made the team. And
isn't that a fascinating thing? Whereas nowadays,
everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy just for showing up.
Yeah, and everyone makes a team. Isn't that fascinating? It's just that difference.
And keeping score is optional now. But baby boomers grew up in a time when you really had to pay your dues.
Yeah.
And the boomers hit the workforce and they put their head down and said, we got to work, work, work. And that's part of what worked against them when they started having children. Gen X saw what the amount of time that they were spending at work. And the term workaholic, we can thank the baby boomers for that. They're the one that coined the term workaholic because of all the time that they dedicated to building their careers and chasing the proverbial American dream.
Yeah, I can totally, you know, it's so funny. I can relate to both the Gen X and baby boomers because I'm actually literally split between the two.
Yeah.
So anything else about this group that you love or challenge or want to share or challenge about this group that you want to share?
Well, with Gen X, they're independent. Just remember that. They tend to be independent, and they do enjoy working on their own. That doesn't mean they can't work with the team, but they like their independence.
Whole idea of micromanaging, I think that's a key one.
Yeah, it comes back to that. Micromanaging isn't going to work with them. They're not intimidated by authority. They're not afraid to question authority. Hmm. But they are very adaptable. When they first came into the workforce, they had very poor people skills for different reasons than the millennials have poor people skills today. The millennials, it's because they're spending so much time with their technology that they're not spending enough time with people in live interactions. But Gen X, they are mature. They have taken their place in the workforce, and they're doing well. And Gen X really grew
up. Why were they challenged with the social interactions?
Well, because they didn't want, all they saw was the baby boomer example of how to do work.
Oh.
And so they rebelled against that. And in trying to figure out a different way, caused a lot of conflict with the baby boomer generation.
Who were they? Burned their bridges.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't the Brady Bunch. That was my indication. The Brady Bunch that destroyed them.
Yeah.
No, so it was basically, I get it. So it's basically there was, because they don't mind challenging authority, they were challenging about these work-life issues, and they kind of hurt relationships. Fascinating.
Yes. Yeah, you got it.
All right. So thank you, Michael, for educating us about the Gen Xers. Michael Lee is a public speaker and owner of Seattle's Express Employment Professionals. Stay with us to find out more about relating and motivating today's multi-generational workforce when in the next segment of our four-part series, we look at the hard-working baby boomers. If you missed part of the show, look us up later at going to iTunes or at fireitupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts are specialty products with less sodium, up to 68% than standard table salt, free of any chemicals or artificial flavors. Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts maintain 84 necessary minerals for a balanced diet and healthy body. All Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts may be purchased at oceansflavor.com. And now, Ocean's Flavor natural less sodium sea salts has introduced heart health the gourmet seasonings at 68% less sodium than table salt. Available in Mexican, Italian, garlic, seasoned, Asian, barbecue, Cajun, and Chipotle flavors. The sodium is the lowest of any seasonings on the market today. Purchase heart-healthy gourmet seasonings on the web at oceansflavor.com and in many national grocery chains. Oceansflavor.com, the only salt company that produces 100% natural, low-sodium sea salt.
And welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. I am CJ Liu, and we are very lucky to have Michael Lee, who is a public speaker and owner of Seattle's Express Employment Professionals. And he works a lot with people of all different generations, and he works with small to medium businesses in Seattle, helping them figure out all these crazy generations. Yeah. Right? Thank you. Welcome, Michael.
It's a pleasure to be with you, CJ. Thanks for having me.
So we are now looking at the largest segment, the segment that is dear to my heart because I am one, the baby boomers, born between 1946 and 1964.
Yeah.
Ages 47 to 65 year olds. They should be retiring.
They hit, yeah, this year they hit 65. The first boomers are hitting retirement age.
And how many of them are actually retiring and haven't had their nest egg destroyed?
Not as many as would like to be retired.
Yeah.
Yeah. The reality for most baby boomers is they have to continue working. And for many, many did plan well for retirement. But in the Great Recession, they've seen their nest eggs decimated.
Yeah. And probably for how many years? Like five or, I mean, can they probably have to work for another five, 10
yeah.
years, right?
Yeah.
That's
for
so
many,
depressing.
That's the case. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So how do you describe baby boomers? They're more in the general eye. But tell us about how you
well,
describe
there's
them.
Well, there's still 42% of the workforce today, and they will continue to be the largest segment of the workforce in the days ahead, days and weeks and years ahead. They grew up during a time in America that was very prosperous and competitive,
mm-hmm.
The you can do anything era. And
you can be cut from any football team.
Yeah,
I love that, too.
Schools were crowded, so
yeah.
there was competition
right.
for sports teams
yeah.
and cheerleading and all
yeah.
that, definitely. So the boomers, they have a strong work ethic, and they grew up in a time in America when career came first,
mm-hmm.
clearly, and family came second, clearly. And it's not uncommon to hear of baby boomers who were traveling salesmen that would pack up their family almost on a yearly basis to follow the work.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time in America, they didn't really give a lot of thought to what kind of an impact that might have on the family because everyone needed to work.
Mm-hmm.
So work is really what defined the baby boomers. The term workaholic came from the baby boomer generation,
mm-hmm.
who was willing to not only pay their dues, but and then some, to get ahead.
At anything, at any price.
Yeah, yeah, chase after the American dream, whatever that meant for them.
Well, aside from hard work, what else did they value?
Well, just one last thing about
okay,
work
sure.
That's so important because baby boomers were cradle-to-grave employees. They fully expected that if they got a job at, say, Ford Motor Company or GM, that they would retire there
right.
at Ford. So the thought of having to update their resume or or go back to school to get new job skills was not on their radar screen. They just thought, hey, if I work hard here at Ford, I'll put in my time, I'll have a pension, and I'll retire.
Isn't that a beautiful thing, the idea of a pension?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so millennials, they have to look that word up.
I had to ask my sister, half-sister, I said, what is the pension? She works at Johnson & Johnson,
yeah.
And my brother gets a pension, too, and it's something like after they retire, they get their annual salary for, like, X number of years of retirement, and it dwindles down, and I thought, oh, my God. Gosh, that is amazing.
You want to live in that world.
No, I know. I think I was just at the tail. Because I'm in between these two generations,
yeah.
I didn't get any of that. But it sounds like a pretty, and that would make you very loyal to a company.
Yeah, absolutely.
If in fact you would have that kind of.
And that was the prevailing mindset in America at that time. Cradle to grave employees working for cradle to grave employers. And it's crazy for us to look at that now, but that's the reality that the baby boomers grew up with. There was also a lot of civil unrest during the formative years of the baby boomers. The civil rights movement had a profound effect on the baby boomers, and they have a love-hate relationship with political correctness, because the social mores and norms made some radical changes during that time.
Right, so they had to adjust because
they had
things
to adjust
had changed.
Big time. Yeah, and because of that, leadership style of the baby boomers tends to be consensus. They like to get consensus among everybody, get buy-in from everybody before they move forward. One of the
Amy, because of equal rights and those kind of things.
Yeah, they want to make sure everybody has their say.
Hmm.
And again, it's love hate. It's love hate with political correctness. You can't go wrong by bringing a consensus style of leadership into a baby boomer environment. They'll relate to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about more about the strengths and challenges for this group. So the challenges are, work-life balance is hard. But how are they on the relationship front?
Well, they're good at relationships. They want to please. They're good team players. And they're willing to go the extra mile in the workforce. That stems from their pay your dues mentality. On the job is challenges. The boomers are the generation that suffers the most from what they call social similarity. They're insular. They like to. Boomers like hanging out with boomers and like working with boomers.
I resemble that remark. Okay.
Yeah. And
So they're just in contrast to the millennials, who like they're flexible. They like to work with all different
correct.
Types
the
of
millennials
generations.
Are the most open.
Yeah.
And Gen X doesn't like anybody. So
just skip right past them.
I say that as a Gen Xer. But back to the boomers. They're not the most comfortable with conflict.
That is
in the workforce.
So true. Why are we so bad at conflict?
Well, it's not that you're bad at conflict, that boomers are bad at conflict. They're uncomfortable with it in the workforce. They just really try to put work first and figure stuff out. Mm. But Gen X and the millennials are more relationally oriented and bring a little more of that interpersonal value into the workforce, whereas boomers can just put their heads down and work.
They're more about tasks and relationships.
Yes.
Get
yes.
a lot of stuff done.
Yes.
What have you gotten done? What's your workload?
Yeah.
Be efficient, time consuming, and that kind of thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, and boomers, they grew up in a time when America was so prosperous that they aren't sometimes naturally budget minded because. They grew up in a time when there weren't a lot of limits. America.
Yeah, the Reagan time period, right?
The contract with America, if you will, informal contract between corporate America and the American worker, suffered tremendously in the late 70s when corporate America was laying off people by the thousands. And all these baby boomers, that's when the cradle-to-grave employer-employee relationship was irreparably damaged. And so, Reagan inherited that during his presidential years. And up until the Great Recession, the boomers were in the middle of their careers dealing with the greatest economic challenge since the Great Depression.
You'd think that would make them better at figuring out money.
Well, for some, let's hope they got it right. But it's really their during their formative years, as they were just coming into the workforce, when America was just so optimistic, so confident that we could do anything and we had the resources to do just about everything.
Right. Yeah. So they're raised during a very resource-rich time.
Yes.
Got it. And so how about just like we did with other, when you've worked with baby boomers, what are they saying to you about the other generations? Let's hear the scuttlebutt with different generations. What do they say about the millennials and the Gen Xs?
Well, they don't understand the need for the warm fuzzies in the workforce, for lack of a better term.
You mean the relationship part?
Yeah, the relationship part, the quote-unquote hand-holding. Mm-hmm. They are a generation that's able to separate their work and their personal life. Although boomers do value the relationships that they create at work. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that they don't. They tend to enjoy a work environment where there are regular performance reviews. They like to check in, but they differ from the millennials in that it doesn't need to be on an hourly basis.
An hourly basis? That's too much. Wow.
Once a year is fine. And that the pay your dues mentality is so entrenched within the baby boomers that they don't understand the need for Gen X and millennials to change jobs regularly, just because there doesn't need to be a deep reason behind it. It's they are trying to grow. They're trying to develop themselves. The baby boomers don't naturally get that. No, it's like you get a job, you pay your dues so you can get ahead.
Right. Stay in that job so that you can move up the ladder.
Correct.
But if you keep on jumping all over the place.
Correct. It's hard for them to understand that millennials and Gen X, they have ladders too. They're just different. And climbing the corporate ladder isn't necessarily as high of a priority with the generations coming behind the boomers. So they have a challenge with that. But what I would say to the millennials and Gen Xers working for a baby boomer boss is choose face-to-face communication whenever possible. Mm-hmm. Baby boomers appreciate that. It's a sign of respect. Don't text them unless you ask them first, you know, if that's their preferred method of communicating. Don't IM them. Face-to-face communication.
That is so true. I find the IMing stuff to be seriously irritating because I'm like, I'm trying to get work done and you're IMing and trying to relate to
exactly.
me. I don't get it.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, as a Gen X or millennial representative, show respect to the boomer for paying their dues. Let them know that you respect the choices that they've made for their life to pay their dues.
Yeah. Different life path,
yes.
But still I get it.
Yes.
That's what the attitude. So thank you again, Michael
Lee,
a trusted partner making it easy for small to medium businesses to bring on and manage new employees. Stay with us to find out more about Michael or to find out more about Traditionalists and how to relate and manage today's workforce. Remember to tune in later. You can go to iTunes or www.fireduppwithcj.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame.
Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our teen inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
Hi, this is CJ Liu, and this is the Fire It Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, I have Michael Lee, who is the owner of Seattle's Express Employment Professionals and is a human resource expert to small to medium-sized businesses in Seattle. Welcome, Michael.
Hey, nice to be with you, CJ. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell us about, we've been talking about all the different generations and the traditionalists who are now 66 to 92 years old. Why are we even talking about these people? Are they working? Why are they still working?
They're still working. They're still 7% of the workforce today. And, you know, people are living longer lives. They're taking better care of their health. They're eating better. And they're staying engaged in the workforce. A lot of these traditionalists that are still in the workforce are having a tremendous impact because they're leaders of multinational corporations that bring a definite leadership style to their organizations. And so you go from the boardroom down to the Walmart greeter. Traditionalists are out there working still because not only a lot of them have to, but because they can and they enjoy.
Yeah, they enjoy working, probably, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess if I had the choice of retiring and playing golf and working, oddly, I think, and maybe it's because I'm a baby boomer, I would actually prefer working. Is that contorted and weird?
not for a baby boomer. For a millennial or a Gen X, yes. They would think you're crazy.
What's wrong with that woman? Yeah. Okay, tell us a little bit, real briefly about the traditionalists.
Well, the traditionalists, they're the World War II generation, and they grew up in a time when America didn't have the social safety nets that we have today. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't necessarily have the welfare system that we have today. You know, people are clamoring for jobless benefits today. That was anathema to their generation. Their jobless benefits were their families, their churches, small-knit communities banding together to get by. So they really bring a profoundly different mindset.
Scarcity mindset, probably.
Yeah, more of a scarcity mindset because they grew up through the Great Depression as well. And they saw profound economic devastation in America and in their families. And many people lost their jobs, couldn't find work. It was tough, and the other generations can't really relate to that. We just had the Great Recession, but still, that was
nothing. We were raised during times of prosperity, so we just don't get it. And we had a safety net, so we don't fundamentally get probably
exactly
what it means to be in that place. So how do you work with, so whether it's the Walmart employee or the head of the board, how do you work with traditionalists?
Well, first of all, remember that this is the generation that was, the words that best describe the traditionalists are God and country. You know, they bleed red, white, and blue. Yeah, they do. And they were willing to put their country first for the right reasons. And they made tremendous sacrifices during World War II for the sake of America and the generations coming behind them. And the boomers were the great recipient of that because boomers were able to focus on themselves.
Right.
And, you know, the boomers aren't called the me generation for nothing.
Right.
And they owe that to their traditionalist parents who made tremendous sacrifices.
And they're modest, too. Because I have a friend of mine who is putting together her website, and she has a really hard time, doing marketing and saying how wonderful she is. She's okay with friends saying that, but she's not okay with her saying, she's like, that just seems so presumptuous and audacious for me to be saying how wonderful I am all the time. Whereas a baby boomer, I have no problem saying that on the continual basis.
Yeah. Different mindset, you know, and in the workforce, the traditionalists, they tend to be very stable, very detail oriented, very thorough, very
loyal.
Very loyal and an extremely hard work ethic. And they'll show up early. They'll stay late. They understand.
So they show up on time for meetings. Man, you better be on time for a traditionalist.
And to them, on time is 5 minutes early with a pencil
or 15 minutes early, really.
Yeah. Oh, for interviews. Yeah.
Exactly.
When I know I'm interviewing a traditionalist or an older baby boomer, I make sure that I'm ready 15 minutes beforehand because I know they'll be early.
Yeah.
And they're dressed impeccably. Traditionalists grew up in formal work environments where the line managers at production plants wore ties. There was no cursing in the workforce. That was anathema to the traditionalists as well. You minded your P's and your Q's, and you showed tremendous respect. That's just what they grew up with. Another thing is over 50% of the men from the traditionalist generation were in the military. And through the military, they inherited this top-down mentality of leadership, and they brought that with them into the workforce. So a lot of these traditionalist leaders of multinational corporations, they don't really have a high regard for all these...
all this consensus crap?
Yes, all these leadership books. They get that leadership is important, but they're very...
Just follow me.
Potatoes about it, yes.
Exactly. What's there to do about leadership? Just follow what I'm telling you to do, right?
Yes,
that's
their
mentality,
I
imagine.
That's right. And so, you know, on the job is challenges.
And they don't work well with women. I have to say, they don't work well
with
women.
No, that's a
good
point.
They don't like women.
It's not that they don't like women. It's that look at what America was like back then. There weren't a lot of women in the workforce.
I was making martinis and getting dressed up.
And there were
impeccable meals for them.
Women were flight attendants.
Right.
They were teachers. They weren't in the business. They weren't in the business conference room. And so we could do a whole show on that.
I would like to do one because I have so many women who I coach who say, you know what, I have a guy who's, you know, in his late 60s and he's been an engineer here forever and he's complaining, he won't listen to me and blah, blah, blah. We will have to do a show about
CJ,
that. Seriously,
that. Yeah.
I would like to know, figure out how to work these. Anything else about these before? I just want to get an update from you, just generally what's happening.
Well, they're reluctant to buck the system. Because of that top-down leadership style, traditionalists, they don't want to buck the system. They will put their head down and keep on working. And it's mostly out of respect for leadership and authority. So, you know, that's why having a good generationally diverse team is important, because you need some millennials and Gen X to ask the tough questions. You need some boomers to stay focused, and the traditionalists... hold it all together and bring perspective and depth of wisdom to the environment.
It's interesting. In some ways, it's the perfect composition
of
all these different types, really. It could work really well if, in fact, every various generations were open to working with each other and understanding relating to each other. So tell us what's happening in the job market today. I want to spend a little bit of time just like, what's happening? You know, you're a recruiter.
Sure. In general, things have picked up. Express, our company, we're an international company. We've got most of our offices here in America, nationwide, and we're having a great year. Our numbers are up. We're putting lots of people to work, and that's encouraging. However, there are still pockets across the country that that are struggling. There's still a tenuous nature with a lot of companies, particularly small to mid-sized businesses. And so most of my expertise, CJ, relates to the West Coast, because my office is in Seattle. But what I can say is that there is some hesitancy in the business community around what healthcare is going to be looking like and how it relates to businesses.
Right.
So there's still a lot of conversation going on and how that's actually going to play out. There's uncertainty over, are we really out of this recession? Is it safe to put investment dollars back into job development?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies are still hesitant that they may not see a return on their investment if they put money towards job creation. And that's where a lot of my time is spent, talking with business leaders and owners, helping them think through those decisions and when it makes sense for them to make those kinds of investments in their company.
When does it make sense for them?
Well, it's, it depends on...
Oops, actually, no, I can't ask that question. We're out of time. Oh, we need to do another segment.
Sorry, I so want to be back, CJ.
I'm going to have you back because I want to talk to you about those two things that we talked about. It flew by so quickly. Thank you so much for
your
time.
This was pleasure to be here.
Fascinating. It's really fascinating.
The
various things that happen in the world and how they affect our personalities and how we work. I just think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
So big thanks to the audience out there. And thank you very much, Chris and Brian. Tune in next Thursday as we learn about new innovations in education.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.